This evening, turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, like all of those that put a little extra time into preparing for this evening. I think at the Christmas season, the music, we've always loved good music here at our church. I think at Christmas, it's a little extra special. And I think some of that is because we truly do understand the true meaning of Christmas. And so as you're listening to some of the songs, it just means a little extra. And probably a very familiar passage at Christmas is Hebrews 12. And so we're going to preach on that this evening. Just a joke. All right, Hebrews chapter 12. And we're going to think about verse 1 a little bit this evening. So Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. One lady wrote it this way: I'm putting on my sneakers going into the race, so I'm cushioning my soles with God's mercy and grace. The contest that's before me seems a million miles long, and I must trust Jesus if I'm going to finish strong. With him running with me, I'll stay focused in on winning. The confidence he'll provide will keep my soul from sinning. I'll have a sense of purpose, as love will be in my stride, and I'll stay to the course knowing he is at my side. I'll run with his strength. He'll provide the assurance. If I run with perseverance, the crown of life is my attainment. And so this evening, we're going to look and consider this idea of let's run our race. Very Christmassy message. All right, but maybe not for you, but for me in the last, I would say, probably couple decades, it's just a pattern of my mind because of being in ministry. You're coming, as I start coming into October, November, I have to be kind of ahead of things and be planning and thinking. And as I always come to a new year, personally, I'm always thinking about my race. How have I done? How was this last year with my race? And are there some things that I can improve in my race? And maybe there's some things that I should take caution of in my race. And so this evening, I want to consider that. Many years ago, there was a high school cross-country team. And they established the goal of running 3 miles in 15 minutes. This will allow them to finish high in the state finals. And so the coach and the players kind of started working together, and the preparation for the achievement was pretty arduous. Besides running each day, the team members were required to eat properly, to drink properly as far as plenty of liquids, and get proper rest. The coach instructed them diligently on running strategies, and they had different times that they had to come in, and he would individually coach them so that they could achieve this goal. For weeks and weeks and weeks, the team readied for the race. The preparations were pretty arduous, but they were successful. The team finished very high in the state meet. But why did that happen? Because they were prepared for a race. The author of Hebrews here compares the Christian life, notice, to a race. We're compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. And then it says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, the beauty for us as we come to this passage is this is talking individually. Your race is for you. It's not, you don't have to worry about somebody else's race. God has a specific race for you. It's not going to be like everybody else's race. And so you'll know if you're successful in your race, not by what everybody else says, but by what God says. And if you're following his pattern, it doesn't matter what everybody else says about the race. If you're successful in God's eyes and according to his book, you can achieve success. And so we want to consider just a couple of things this evening. I see four different things in this passage, and we'll try to cover those this evening. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us this evening as we consider running the race that is set before us. I pray that we would work to run the race that you have set before us and run it with patience, and we'd run it biblically, run it godly, spiritually. And Lord, I pray always as I do for sustaining grace, grace that enables me to take the precious word of God and Lord, impart it to the believers, to your church. Lord, as we gather, we want to hear from you. And Lord, you know that I can't speak to hearts, but you can. We ask you to do that. We ask and claim your power in Jesus' name. Amen. So a couple of things. First of all, notice kind of halfway through, it gives us a couple of ideas. It says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. So number one, if I am going to run my race, if I'm going to be diligent at it and I'm going to do good at this, first of all, it tells me that I have to remove the impediments. Remove the impediments. Christians cannot afford to be hindered in living the Christian life. We can't be hindered by things in this race. And so the author of Hebrews told the believers, lay aside the weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. So it tells us that a Christian, notice what it says, let us lay aside. And it's also the idea that you lay aside the sin. So who is that resting on? Me. It's on me to do that. Now, some of us, what we do is like, you know what? I don't understand. It's their fault. I don't understand. It's my parents' fault. It's the church's fault. It's my youth pastor, which now I would agree. All right, I would agree with that. Because youth pastors were really good, like a decade or so ago. It was unbelievable, the skill that they had. But you know what? You can throw it on them now. But you can't do that. All right, there's many of us. That's what we want to do. We want to toss it on everybody else. But notice, whose job is it to run the race? It's your job. And whose job is it to remove impediments? It's your job. Your job. So what do we have to do? A Christian needs to take action. The author of Hebrews has probably observed a foot race. There's debate. There's debate on who wrote the book of Hebrews. I actually believe it's Paul. All right? My favorite one, I actually taught Hebrews in master's level many, many years ago. My favorite one in studying it was, I think, either Aquila or Priscilla, all right, or Clement, all right. There were some really way out there ideas of who wrote the book of Hebrews. But I kind of lean towards, they say that it doesn't fit as much with the Pauline style, and I understand that it's written to a different type of people. If you know most of the Pauline epistles, he was an apostle to the Gentiles. And so that's why, in Hebrews, just a clue here, all right, this will help you out. Hebrews is written to the Hebrews. Unreal. Unbelievable. You got it right there. So that's why some kind of debate it. So the author, though, more than likely watched a foot race. And oftentimes runners would train, they would train with weights on them, but then when they came up to the race time, they didn't come up to the line and have the weights on. No, they're laying aside weights. What's interesting is Albert Barnes, and looking at this passage, the word rendered weight means crooked or hooked. And so what he looks at it, he says, thence it's anything that is attached or suspended by a hook. So for instance, they might hook something on. This word doesn't occur anywhere else in the New Testament. And it's used by classic writers of the time. They would use this to indicate swelling or even a tumor. All right. And so what is the Bible telling us? It's telling us that we need to take action. So we need to watch out. We need to lay aside a weight. All right, I shared with you about this summer, and God led my wife and I to take June and July off. But one of the things as I was coming up to it, it was last October. All right, it was last October that God really impressed that upon me to do it. And so I went and talked to Pastor Armacost, and then I talked with the deacons in March, and I said, we just have to prepare everybody because it's not been done. And so, but I'm doing this. But one of the things as I was preparing, as God really laid on my heart, that I don't want you to have a phone or email. I don't want you to be on internet. I don't want you to do anything of that. And it was basically 40 days. 40 days of that. And I understand some of you couldn't live a minute. Probably you were already on it tonight. Okay? But I'm just challenging you. Are you willing to lay some things aside sometimes to get ahead in your race? Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to set something aside? And God will help you. But some of you, you're so tied to this world that you never get connected to the next. And the next world is what matters. The eternal things are what matters, not the temporal. And so the Bible is telling us, lay aside some of the weights. The Christian needs to take action. Notice it also says you need to take action not just on laying aside weight, but on besetting sins. Many hindrances thwart the Christian progress. There's fleshly indulgences, there's faithlessness, there's lack of dedication, there's pride, there's laziness. Barnes, again, Albert Barnes in this, this word easily beset doesn't occur anywhere else, again, in the New Testament. And it means standing well around. So his idea is it denotes what is near or at hand. So that besetting sin, it's saying we need to be careful of it. Notice it says that the lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. The thing that is very near to you and I. I believe some of these are individual. And the reason for that is because each of us are unique in God's creation. Everything's not attractive to all of us. Right, there are some things that I think are common principles that we need to watch out for. But there are some specific things that you know and you only know. All right, it can be that there's somebody close to you and they can come alongside and help you with that. But you know that this thing is a besetting sin. All right, I'm sure he wouldn't mind this illustration. Okay, and I'm using this as a very loose illustration. All right, Pastor Dan Wolven was at my house many months ago in August, and we were grabbing a bite to eat, and I noticed that he had done pretty well on losing weight. And I was like, wow, man, Pastor Wolven, you're looking good. He's like, oh yeah. So we ate a little bit, and then I knew he was coming over, and so we got a cheesecake. And we put it out there like, oh yeah, cheesecake is sitting out here. And he looked, he's like, no, can't do it. And I was like, well, I mean, come on, it's just tonight. You can, you know, skip a meal tomorrow, whatever. And he says, no. He says, you don't understand myself and desserts. He said, that's why I'm doing well. He said, I haven't touched desserts for months. He said, and if I touch that, it opens up the floodgate. He said, I will eat that whole thing. And I'll keep eating, and for days, I will just have desserts around me. And I'm like, whoa, man. I said, well, that's self-control. But his self-control was just, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. I will set that aside. Now, for him, that was physically, he was setting that aside so that he could better himself. So what about yourself? The Bible is saying, remove some impediments. Remove some things. Lay aside the weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And what amazes me is that the world, remember just a couple of weeks ago, David Krigo on a Thursday night showed his presentation, and then he paused just for a few minutes and he had that prayer, the call to prayer. And then afterwards he said, all over Jordan, And I've been in other places. We've stayed in Dubai. And there in Dubai, all over what you hear, five times a day, the call to prayer goes, and what you see is businesses close, taxi drivers will just stop, they get out, they have a little rug, and they start praying, and they're doing it to a false god. And yet some of us, we can't pray one time a day. We can't do it. Like, oh, that's a little bit too much. And you know what? You're a loser in your race. You're losing your race. Why? Because I can't set aside a weight and I cannot remove that sin. Don't blame God. As he says, hey, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You can be more than a conqueror. But what it does take is you to do some things. So number one, it tells us, what do we have to do? Remove the impediments. And that means that we have to take some action as Christians. The theme, one of the themes of the book of Hebrews is to move on. Is to go forward a little bit. Where do I find it? There's a phrase found throughout the book of Hebrews. I can remember one pastor. Some pastors, they just love unique names, maybe for sermon audio or to catch attention. And I can remember one pastor, the solid in the book of Hebrews. And I was like, what in the world? All right. And so there's a whole bunch of times in the book of Hebrews that it says lettuce. I was like, oh my word. That's ridiculous. But it does over and over. Hebrews 4, let us therefore fear. Hebrews 4:11, let us labor. Hebrews 4:14, let us hold fast. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly. Hebrews 6:1, let us go on unto perfection. Hebrews 10:22, let us draw near. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast. Hebrews 10:24, let us consider. And then in Hebrews 12 here, it says, let us lay aside. What is it doing in the book of Hebrews? It's saying, I have more for you. There is, what is one of the main purposes of the book of Hebrews? One of the main words is better. Better. And guess what? God has a better life for us, but he's asking us, are you willing to run this race? So remove the impediment. Secondly, and I find this at the end of the end of the text, it continues on in verse 2 and 3. So we have the race that is set before us. Look at verse 2 and 3. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. So secondly, the first is remove the impediments. Secondly, examine the race course. And so how do I examine the race course? You just said that it's made individually. It gives you a clue. How do I know my race course? Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher, who did it already. He ran a race. He's your example, and so he can help you. Examine the race course. Looking unto Jesus, consider him. Jesus is the pattern for the Christian life. No one needs to wonder how a Christian is to act or think or speak. Really, you know, many years ago, if you remember, there was like little bracelets or whatever and, necklaces, and it was WWJD, all right? And mine was WWSD. What would Steve do? All right. And they would just have that. And so you'd come up to them, and basically it was all the dudes. All right. You'd come up and you would never know they're a Christian. You'd never have any idea. And, you're like, hey, I don't know that you should, the scriptures, like, hey, the bracelet, dude. Like, I know you're wearing a bracelet. It's a little weird, okay? And they're like, yeah, I mean, that's what I think about. What would Jesus do? I'm like, well, I think he wouldn't talk like that, one. Secondly, he wouldn't act like that. But some of it, Christ should be our pattern. It amazes me that when you start talking to people and then you come back to the Bible, when they come back to the Bible, and this is a clue, if you're trying to dig through the Bible to find an excuse for your lifestyle, more than likely you're wrong. Okay? If you're trying to dig through the Bible for a loophole, it's wrong. That's actually not biblical. Why? Because the Bible indicates that as I grow in the Lord, I become more yielded to Him, more submitted to Him. And so I'm like, God, whatever you want. And if some, man, if God, if you want my life, you got it. So if he has my life, if he wants my wallet, he wants my car, he wants whatever, you got it, man. And that's an indication of I'm ready for the race. I'm examining this race course and I'm looking unto Jesus. So Jesus is my pattern for the Christian life and Jesus is the dynamic for the Christian life. He doesn't just model the way that we need to live. He helps us achieve the goal. Remember, it says that we can come boldly unto Christ. Christ is there to help you in your race because he was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. The word author can be translated or thought of as a pioneer or a person on the forefront, a leader. So when it says he's the author, he's the leader, he's the pioneer. The word finisher describes one who is a companion on the journey. He's there. He's a completer. Jesus is the one who prepares the way for us to be right with God on this course. So if I'm going to be ready for this race, remove the impediments, examine the race course, but then look at the beginning of verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, I pause for encouragement. I pause for encouragement. Look at the legacy of runners. And you'd say, so where is the great cloud? Look at Hebrews 11. They're before. And there is a debate on what the great cloud is. But Hebrews 12 does follow Hebrews 11, just so you know. And Hebrews 11 is there talking about people that were people of faith and had an individual race. How do we know that? Because Moses' race wasn't the same as Joseph's race. And Joseph and Moses didn't have the same race as Abraham's race. And what you'll notice in them is sometimes even in their races, they stumbled a little bit. But they're there for us to encourage us to stay at the race. You pause for encouragement. These witnesses testify to the power of faith. Hebrews 12:1 is there because in Hebrews chapter 11, it says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews verse 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so what should we do? We should pause and look at these people and then gather some encouragement, gather some advice about the race. You have a book that can guide you, there's all kinds of people in this book that are given to you. I believe this is one of the things that it kind of is debatable, I would say, in the inspiration preservation world. Right? Some of the people that kind of get bent out of shape about inspiration and preservation are like, well, I don't know that this is relevant. I believe every example that you need, as far as everything that you're going to face in your life,
You can go to the Word of God, and God, so the Bible says this, and I think it's Psalm 12, that the Word of God is perfect. Okay, it's tried seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them. And the idea of perfect there, I studied this out many years ago, the idea of what it means that the Word of God is tried seven times in a furnace of fire, it says. So I went back and I was like, so what does it mean that the Bible was tried for you and I and purified? So in the Bible, you have an illustration of a furnace of fire. You know where it is? The three Hebrew children. Remember that? And they wouldn't bow, and they were thrown into a furnace of fire. They were thrown into it. So when Psalm 12 was written, the hottest fires that you could get were in the earth, a furnace of fire. So that God at that time was illustrating that for you and I, saying, I took the Word of God and I found the hottest fire to prove it. And I didn't just prove it once. I did it seven times. So what does seven mean? Seven means complete. So God took this book for you and I, and he proved it until it was complete. And then he says, I'll keep it. Not you, I will. So that when you're facing something, you can go into this book, and that's why I go back. I believe everything that you're going to face, you can go to this book, everything you're going to face in your race, and you have guidance. You have a map. You have your own coach, in essence, in this book. Everything you're going to face, you say, I don't know that it's relevant. I think part of it is, you don't know it enough. Get in the book. And once you get in that book, what you'll find is it just opens up, and all of a sudden, understanding, the light comes in. Why? Because the entrance of thy words gives light, according to Psalm 119. See, so I pause for encouragement, and I look, and these witnesses testify to the power of faith. And faith can be a nebulous thing. But if it's a nebulous thing, grow your faith. As I've said over the last year, faith, I believe, is one of your spiritual muscles. It is. All right, if you study it, it's a spiritual muscle. So how do you get a muscle to grow? Exercise. So faith has to be exercised in order for it to grow. One of the ways that that happens is sometimes trials, troubles, tribulation. And it's stretching that faith. It's making you think, all right, is God's word enough? Does it supply everything? Does it supply all my needs? Is it true that my God shall supply all your needs? You see, you're going to have to learn that. So you pause for encouragement, and you notice these great cloud of witnesses, and these witnesses testify to the power of faith. These witnesses inspire Christians to be faithful. Did they face hard times? Yeah, read the book of Hebrews chapter 11, and you'll find that there was some hard times. And so look at, lastly, in our text, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. So we're removing the impediments. Verse 2 and 3, we're trying to examine the race course. And then at the beginning, we're trying to pause for encouragement. But notice what it says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. We work on endurance. We work on endurance. There in Hebrews, I'm going to turn back to 2 Timothy chapter 2, and it says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall also be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Now, some of you, whether you know it or not, God has called us to be soldiers. In fact, that's the end of January, February, and March. That's what our Sunday mornings is going to be on. Put on the whole armor of God. We're soldiers. Whether you knew it or not, you're called into his army. When you were saved, Ephesians chapter 6 is not written to pastors. It's written to all of us that name the name of Christ. And he says, you're a soldier now. You're not warring against flesh and blood. And I think that some of us sitting here, you don't even know it. But some of you, you've been attacked by the devil. You've been beat up by the devil. He's played games with you. And you don't even know it. Because you're in a war. And I have to be suited up, but I have to be able to endure it. Endure it. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And it is hard. The younger generation, I understand it. You live in a wuss society. All right, I can imagine being in a military right now, and I'm sorry, I guess we do have a military guy here, but I'm saying, I mean, it's ridiculous. You can't be hard anymore. Well, Christ doesn't want weak soldiers. He says, endure hardness. Read the Bible and encourage yourself. Man, Paul the apostle, remember reading through Corinthians, and he lists out all the things that happened to him. And then through that passage, during those times in Corinthians, but he says, he doesn't whine about it. He gets carried off and gets a special, I believe, attention with Christ. Most believe that he actually saw Christ and he taught him. And then because of that, lest he be lifted up with pride, a thorn in the flesh was given to him and he besought him. But God said, no, I'm not taken away, but my grace is sufficient. And then if you read that passage, he says, but most gladly will I bear it. Most of us, we get a hangnail and we're whining. Most of us, you have to do a little bit extra in church and you're whining. Most of us, if the air conditioning shuts off or the heat shuts off, oh, how did they do this? Suck it up. Endure some hardness. You know, I have pastor friends. Some of you think that you're the only one that has ever borne anything. And actually, if you talk to some people, you've borne nothing. Nothing. I mean, I have pastor friends that I can't imagine. Last weekend I was talking with one man and his uncle. His uncle, it's crazy what he's been through. Basically, almost died numerous times, couldn't talk and couldn't all kinds of things. And you know what he's still doing? Serving God. God's blessed him and he sings now. John Bishop comes here and preaches and he falls down. You say, oh, I don't know. I don't know that it's that tough. You haven't been there. It's tough for some of these guys, but you know what they want to do? They want to endure to the end. They want to be a good soldier. And that should help us take a pause and encouragement and say, man, we've got to be at this. I'm not going to give in to the devil. I'm not just going to live for now. It's not all about me and all about this life. There's a life to come. And am I preparing for it? I work on endurance. I run with patience. That idea of patience is perseverance. Sometimes we're tempted to quit living the Christian life. I'm not a runner. Gave that up for Lent. I don't like running. Man, I can't remember if it was fifth or sixth grade. Started playing soccer and some other things. And I ran. In seventh grade, ran. Eighth grade, ran. And then you get into varsity sports and ran some more and ran and ran. And then in college, and I had the idea of joining more sports and ran and ran and ran some more. And finally, at about 25, I was like, forget it. I've ran so much that I think that I could just hang that up. I don't need to do that anymore. But I think anybody that has done anything physically hard, there are times that you just say, wow, man, I don't know if I can step more. I don't know if I can do that. When the spiritual life, if you think physically you get to that place, do you think spiritually it's going to be easier? No, it's not. You're going to have times that you just want to cash it in. That it's just, it's done. But here this passage is saying, run with patience. Persevere. We can become discouraged. Tempted to maybe slow down, give up. And maybe that's what you've done is slowed down. You've given up. But we can't quit. We've got to endure. And with Christ we can. And the endurance is worth the effort. The encouragement to run with patience. It gives the idea of mastering something. Staying with the Christian life has a lot of benefits. Staying at the Christian life produces joy. You see this in the text. It tells us that Christ endured for the joy that was set before him. There's joy. And you can relish the accomplishment. I believe Christ again is an example because in John chapter 17, he was given a task and he looked up to his heavenly Father in his high priestly prayer and he said, hey, the things that you have given me to do, I have finished them. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. There's a sense of accomplishment, there's a joy, and there's a crown to be won. The Christian life is a race. One last passage that I'll read is in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. It says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all? But one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. And this is my challenge to you. If you physically have pushed yourself, then why aren't you spiritually? If you haven't, you are showing what is more important. And you also will get the results. Physically, oh man, beast. You know what? But just so you know, that will fade away. All right? Your pipes will rust. All right? And we'll all make fun of them. Your chest will drop. All right? It'll drop way down. And it may still be in proportion, but in a different area. Okay? But physically, we put so much effort. And I think it is important. Why? Because the temple, this is what God has given us, and I should be careful. I can serve God. I should be wise with that. But spiritually, God has given you a temple. Some of us don't think it because we can't see that. But spiritually, God's given you that. So how are you doing with it? Have you disciplined it recently? Have you been temperate with it? The Bible is telling us that we need to endure in this race. One author said this, when you get into a tight place and everything goes against you until it seems you cannot hold on a minute longer, never give up then. For that is just the place and time when the tide will turn. Stay at the race. Many years ago in a manufacturing town in Scotland, there was a young lady and she went to the superintendent of the Sunday school in that area for a class. And at his suggestion, she gathered a class of poor little kind of boys that were in a certain neighborhood. The superintendent came the first week or the second week when she gathered them together and told the boys that he would get them each a new set of clothes if they would be faithful for a couple weeks. And they came. And they were fitted out for nice Sunday go to meeting clothes. The worst and kind of most unpromising boy in the class was a lad named Bob. And after two or three Sundays, he was missing. And so the teacher went out into the neighborhoods to look for Bob and she found him. The new clothes were torn. They were dirty. And she invited him back to Sunday school again. And he came. The superintendent came just a few weeks after that, and he saw them sitting there, and he noticed a couple of boys, including Bob, that didn't have a nice suit of clothes. And so the superintendent again said, all right, boys, you come for a couple of weeks, and you'll get a new set of clothes. Bob came 3 weeks in a row, and guess what? He got a new set of clothes. But after the set of clothes, after a few weeks, he started missing again. And the teacher was pretty discouraged. She went to the superintendent and she said, you know, I'm really, really discouraged about Bob. And I just think that I should give up on him. And praise the Lord for a man that saw a little further. And he said, don't do that. He said, I cannot but hope there is something good in that boy named Bob. Try him once more. And I'll give him a third suit if he promises to attend regularly. Well, something happened in Bob's heart that third time. And he came and he came and he came. He got interested in the Bible, interested in Christ. He became an earnest and persevering seeker, and he found Christ. Eventually, he joined the church. He was made a teacher. He studied for the ministry. And the end account is amazing. That little forlorn, ragged, runaway Bob became the Reverend Robert Morrison. You can look him up. He became a missionary to China. And he was responsible for translating the Bible into Chinese. Hundreds, thousands were touched because a teacher said, that's my race. I won't quit. I'll stay at it. God has a race for all of us. I can help. Sometimes that's what a pastor does. A pastor helps. There are some things that somebody may, as I've said, I can't tell you exactly God's will. What I can do is help guide you in principles. I can't tell you exactly who you're supposed to marry. That's kind of your job to figure that out. But what I can do is come alongside and say, well, that's not Bible. And don't get mad when somebody has Bible to back up what they're saying. When they come alongside you and say, hey, are you thinking about that? Or praying about it? A good answer would be, you know what? Thanks. I think I'll pray about that. So, ooh, all right, get your pipes down. They're going to rust anyways. And then think about it. Pray about it. And God will come alongside and maybe encourage you and help you because we have to stay at the race. This is not written. This is not written because everybody stays at the race. Notice what it says in some of the text. Remember in 1 Corinthians 9, if we're not temperate, if we're not striving, we can become a castaway. What does that mean? We drop the race. God doesn't need people dropping the race. He needs people to stay faithful, steady at the race. Heads bowed, eyes closed this evening. In just a moment, we'll have a time of invitation.